WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw. I'm here.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me. You got your rules and your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith.
Oh, I should stop singing along with the song. Go, hey, welcome everyone to a Raw Post Show, the final Raw Post Show of the decade. To recap everything, goes on the final Raw of the decade. This is the Raw Post Show again, presented always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I mean, Lindsay Ward, this was a show that had everything.
It had everything you could ever possibly want.
It was full-on sports entertainment.
I will give it that. It was full-on sports entertainment.
Let's see. We had a fake injury angle where Randy Orton came out to the ring because he got injured at a house show last night. And then he talked about people being injured and how it affects their careers and how they could end, their careers could come to an end. He mentioned Edge's career ending abruptly because of an injury. And he talked about how his goal is to make it back in time for WrestleMania and RKO somebody. AJ Styles came out and he's like the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old kid picking on somebody that's injured. He did the whole, you can't touch me, you can't touch me. Bit. He put his hands behind his head. Randy just stood there on one leg, like, you know, biting down and not, you know, gritting his teeth and just going, okay, okay, okay. And then AJ was like, oh, I guess you're really hurt. And then Randy gets a crutch knocked out of him and then he's hanging on the ropes and AJ's still mocking him and he continues to mock him. And then Randy Orton tells him to come over. And then delivers the RKO. He just said, I'm a patient, you know, but the difference between me and you, I'm not patient. Drop the RKO. And he laid him out.
Again, really hate how much I love babyface Randy Orton, but here we are. I mean, honestly, when we heard this last night, it was kind of like, okay, what's going to happen with this? Because really anything could happen with it. We don't know. Is it legit? Is it not legit? And when you heard that Randy was going to get time on Raw tonight, it was kind of like, oh, okay, all right. I think I know what's going on here. I mean, I don't know that for 100% sure, but it's like, methinks Randy's up to no good, which it's Randy. So, I mean, you know, we all pretty much know Randy's up to no good, but I enjoyed this. I thought this was really well done. It was very clever. On both Styles and Orton's part, I think they did very, very well. I mean, again, like I said, we all know Randy, so we all know maybe he's not as hurt as he's letting on.
It appears Randy Orton is A-OK.
That's stinker, but I will say this, when he did, like, when he RKO'd AJ, because we're all sitting here, right? This is the devil we know. How many years have we all dealt with Randy Orton? How many? We all know the truth, right? It's Randy.
Since 2002.
Since 2002, we've all dealt with Randy Orton. So it's just like, we know what's coming, but it's just like, when he does it, it's like, okay, all right, there's the RKO right there, as expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
It was very good. It was very well done. Enjoyed it thoroughly. So I like this. I liked everything about it. Because, I mean, and going back to the point, it's like, when we heard this, it's like, well, is Randy done? And then you hear, you know, well, he's going to come out on Monday Night Raw and he's going to talk. So it's like, oh, well, I guess he's done. And then it's storyline. It's like, oh, well, if it's storyline, then we know what's going on. But yeah, it's just, I like this. I thought this was well done. I will say, though, it was a little jarring to see Randy Orton in shorts. It's always jarring when Randy's fully dressed. Like, that's how you know shit's about to get really real with Randy, is if he opts to wear pants. Just saying. Because, I mean, think about it. How often in his WWE career, Evolution not included.
Even in Evolution, he was never wearing pants.
Yeah, even in Evolution, he never wore pants. Randy Orton, I think I can count on one hand, maybe two, the number of times I've actually seen him fully dressed on a WWE TV show. Anytime he's wearing any type of, like, actual piece of clothing, you know it's about to get really, really real. Because, like, he doesn't play then. Like, he just didn't even bother to change into his trunks. He just showed up to beat somebody up, and he's just going to leave. And that's it.
So there you go. For those who like the professional wrestling of the sports and entertainment, Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really, really good. But, I mean, we've been really spoiled by that at this point, so I don't know if we can complain otherwise.
No, you really can't complain. Aleister Black beat Buddy Murphy. Really, really good match. Eric Rowan beat Kip Stevens.
At least we knew his name and that he's a DC fan. So there's that.
There was that, yeah. Charlotte Flair came out and announced that she's the first woman of the decade to enter the Royal Rumble match, meaning for the next decade. But, you know, everyone knew that she would be in it. And then, well, basically, she didn't want to come out here and brag about herself, then bragged about herself. And then hosted Open Challenge and had more good sports of the sports entertainment with Natalya.
You can't go wrong with the Natalya and the Charlotte. You really can't. But can we talk about Charlotte's makeup? Because I was a little worried about her makeup.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like it was kind of melting off her face.
Yeah, it was. Those lights were hot tonight.
They were. Like, a lot of the girls were having problems tonight with their makeup. I mean, it was very apparent that it was not staying on.
Yeah, that building was hot. So there you go on that one. Charlotte got the win over Natty. Becky Lynch was interviewed by Charlie Caruso. She asked what, you know, she talked about, you know, anything going on, and she has a match coming up at the Royal Rumble, and it's against Asuka. Charlie asked, how did she get the match to happen? She said her contract is coming up, and she insisted that the match occur before she would even consider discussing a new deal. She signed one of the biggest contracts in WWE history if she would just shut her mouth and move on and forget about Asuka beating her last year. But she can't forget. She said money and status don't help you if you can't look at yourself in the mirror. She said she doesn't know if she can beat Asuka, but she's going to write her record even if it kills her.
Very, very, very good promo by Becky.
Yeah, it was very strong. Very, very strong. You had the OC in the ring. They were out here talking the talk like they normally do. They want a shot at the Viking Raiders. They were interrupted by the Street Profits. They want a shot at the Viking Raiders because they talked about it, their history and how they've been being the OC. They had a match with the OC. Really good sports of the sports entertainment portion of the show. And the Street Profits got the win.
They did, and a very, very, very nice contest. Will not complain about this at all in the least. I enjoyed this thoroughly.
And next week on Raw, it will be the Street Profits versus Gallows and Anderson versus the Viking Raiders for the Raw Tag Team titles.
I don't think anybody can be upset about that. Nope. I mean, honestly, truthfully.
Nope. Drew McIntyre destroyed Hawkins and Ryder.
He made one fans' night, I will say that for him.
Did he?
Yeah, that little kid or whatever. Oh, yeah, that, like, yeah, when he was cutting his promo, he kind of leaned up against the
barricade, yeah.
The barricade, and that one little kid was like, oh my god!
Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
And then his mom was, like, completely, totally thirsty for Drew, which, honestly, I don't blame her. Respect.
Andrade was taking on a local jobber dude. That ended in a no contest when Ricochet made the save because Andrade was on the outside about to drop him on the exposed floor. Ricochet came out, made the save. And then we had more good sports of the sports entertainment as Andrade beat Ricochet.
Great match. Absolutely great match between the two. Wasn't quite sure what Zelina was wearing, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with what she was wearing. Just it looked like something from Dancing with the Stars a little bit.
Yeah.
Not quite sure what was going on there.
So, good stuff. Good wrestling. That's the good wrestling of the show. Let's get to the sports and now the entertainment. Monday Night Raw opened with Kevin Owens coming to the ring. He talked about how he was, you know, he was kicking off the new year early with some fireworks. Here's why he showed Rey Mysterio and Owens and Samoa Joe being attacked by Rollins and AOP. He talked about how this beating allowed Mysterio to lose the U.S. title in MSG. Kevin Owens just basically wants to fight. Seth Rollins comes out wearing a glove for whatever reason.
Yeah, not quite sure what was going on there.
Not really sure. And said it's a sacrifice, meaning sacrifice himself for the greater good by being the leader and messiah who will take it, the industry to the next decade. Owens then went right after the AOP. They beat him up. It was a 3-on-1 until Samoa Joe made the save. And then it was a pull-apart as security got involved.
I'm a huge fan of a pull-apart brawl, and they've done a really good job of backing off of that lately. There for a while, they were doing one like every 3 months, and it got a little tiresome. This was good. This was really, really good. I enjoyed everything about this. I'm not quite sure what was going on with the whole one glove scenario with Seth, but he's trying stuff. He's back in all black. He's back to being the weasel that we all know and love. I still maintain that I want to see Samoa Joe adopt the AOP and them just wreak havoc across WWE, because I feel like that would be phenomenal. I know Samoa Joe does not need henchmen, but for Joe to have henchmen would be insane. Just because if anybody can cut the evil villain monologue, it would be Joe. Anybody could do it. Not knocking Seth Rollins, not knocking what's going on, but just I can see that in my head. And it's like, give it to me. Just give it
to
me.
It's more about Joe's voice.
It's all about Joe's voice. Like, Joe just has that eloquence and that charm and really that control to do something like that, where he can get loud, but he can also speak soft. And what Joe uses to his advantage is he speaks softer. And the more softer he speaks, the more menacing he can be. Like, anybody can yell and scream, but it's when you're in complete, utter control and you're threatening someone while you're under complete control, that is badass.
But it appears Kevin Owens has adopted Samoa Joe for the time being.
And I'm fine with this, too. They can wreak havoc as well. They're both equally skilled at it, so not going to complain.
So they're a menacing force, and no one says he knows a lot of bad people, and he's never known someone as bad as Joe, and that's in the nicest way possible.
I mean, it's not a lie.
It's really not. So they were escorted out of the building by security. Rollins and AOP were also escorted out as well. All right, see how long my voice can hold up for this thing. Throughout the night, we got various shots of the preparations for the Lana Lashley wedding, which included Eric Rowan not getting an invite. He was
very upset.
He was very upset.
He wore his best leathers for it and everything, and he didn't even get invited.
You saw her getting her makeup done, or she was going to check on the flowers. Lashley was, you know, making sure his arms fit in his suit.
Sleeveless tux.
As it were. And so throughout the night, you had the whole setup. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to the wedding, the Lana Lashley wedding. And boy, oh boy, have people been on one side of the fence or the other about this one. Okay, so Lana comes in, Lashley comes out. There's seats all over the stage. No one's sitting on them, so none of the actual people were invited. Lashley's out. She comes out. You have a minister. And then he's reading the whole bit and whatever. And then he talks about the pitter-patter of little feet. And she said, I don't want no little monster coming out of me. I don't want that. Don't, no, no, I don't want to look like these people. And then, just continue reading the script. And then fans start chanting Rusev Day. It's not about Rusev. Not about Rusev.
It's all about Rusev.
She started yelling, telling the crowd to shut up. She said it was her day and it was all about her. She started reading her vows. How it was the luckiest day in Lashley's entire life because he was marrying the greatest superstar of all time and the greatest woman who has ever lived. Lana said Lashley has strived for excellence throughout his life, and she's the greatest gift that he could ever give himself. More Rusev Day chant. She responds with Lana Day. Lana Day. And then Lana said this was the greatest moment of Lashley's career, life, man, and manhood. She just wants to jump on him right now and make the love. And that's what they did. Minister was confused. Then Lana spent a lot of time preparing the vows for Lashley. She starts reading. He's the luckiest man on the planet because he's marrying a woman that no other woman on the planet can compare to. Fans are training. What? 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 Lana said, it's not what, it's who. It's all about her. Lashley went to continue reading, you know, the vows that she wrote. Minister then brought up, this was a bit difficult for him to get to the ring part, so, you know, with this ring, yada, yada, yada. He's going on and on, and Lana cuts him off. Can we just get to it? Let's get this whole thing over with. And then the minister goes, oh boy. The part I'm dreading. He said, if anyone had any objections, just speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, before you continue, because one, to rest your voice, and two, we have to talk about it. So throughout the night, we saw Lana and Lashley getting prepared. We saw Lana in this teeny tiny little dress.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was tiny. She looked really good at it. Like, I'm not shaming her for it. It's just if she'd been any way but standing up, we were going to see everything down below. Like, it was that short. And so she's running around getting prepared for the wedding, you know, with Rowan. She's getting her makeup done. We see her putting on, like, I guess lotion or bronzer or something on her legs in a dressing room with very strategic camera placement, so that way you didn't see anything, because again, she's doing this in the itty bitty teeny tiny dress. And then she's looking at the flowers and complimenting how beautiful the flowers were, which the flowers, whoever the florist was really, really good. They did a nice job on the flowers. I will give all the props in the world to them on that. They did a beautiful job. And then we see her getting ready, or getting her actual wedding photos taken. So the whole night I'm sitting here and I'm like, that can't be the dress. There's got to be more dress than that. There's got to be. That can't be it. And sure enough, there was a second dress, and somehow there was less dress for the actual wedding dress than there was for the dress that she wore throughout the show. I'm not quite sure how that works. Again, not shaming, just I'm very confused of how she could get even more naked to actually get married than running around prepping everything. Not sure how that happened. Anyway, so she comes out and she's wearing this like see-through beaded sort of like jacket. I'm going to call it a jacket because all that's underneath of this jacket or cover up, it's basically, it's like, it's a modesty cover up that you can wear for weddings where you throw it over the not appropriate ceremony appropriate attire and it makes it ceremony appropriate. It's a thing. Girls do it. Because all she was wearing under this thing is like a white mini skirt and a bedazzled bra. That's it. That's all she's got on under this coat. So the coat cover, whatever you want to call it, the overdress, whatever you want to call it, was the star of the show. And it was very pretty. Don't get me wrong. It was very pretty. And she has the body to pull it off. Absolutely does. But again, teeny tiny little skirt, which we all know where this is going. So it's like something bad's going to happen. I could just feel it. I'm like dreading something bad happening. But she comes down. She's got a veil on. She looks very pretty. And again, she was having shine issues like everybody else was, because those lights were just super duper hot. And I feel a little bad for her, but she looked good. She looked really good.
She did. She really, really did. Speak now or forever hold your peace. So out comes a man. He says this charade should not continue. The minister goes, who are you? I'm Lana's first husband. They got married the day she turned 18, and then she left him for that son of a bitch, Rusev. And then she left that son of a bitch for this son of a bitch. And then the first son of a bitch got spiked by Lashley.
So what's implied here is Lana's a hoe.
She's a hoe. Anyway, Lashley, the minister then did the whole speech again. And now, you know, anyone object? And out walked a woman. This is Lashley's first wife. Not Crystal Marshall, for anyone who knows that reference. She said, I met when Lashley was in the military and it was beautiful. And then, well, Lana knocked her off the apron and down the steps. Then we go Are there any more objections?
You would think the minister would stop asking at some point.
And then out walked Liv Morgan.
Okay, can we just talk about Liv Morgan for a second and what the hell was that she was wearing? Like, where was the rest of the suit jacket? Again, not judging or shaming, but I'm very confused as to what was going on. Because she walks out in this really nice black suit tuxedo outfit. Mm-hmm. She looked really good in it, but like half the jacket was missing. So she was essentially one boobie out, one boobie in, with the jacket going diagonal in between. And all she's got on underneath is obviously like a black bra / bandeau top. So like there's just, I don't know. It was weird. I'm not sure how it stayed on and I'm not sure what was going on with it. It was weird. She looked good though. So
she said the love of her life is in that ring right now. She said she wouldn't have made it through the first year, the year, if it wasn't for their love. And she goes, how could you do this to me? And Lashley goes, I'd never touch that woman. I don't know who hell she is.
Liv, yeah, goes, I love how Lashley's like, not it, not, not it, it, not nope, it,
nope,
not it.
I didn't, nope, I did not have sex with that young woman. No. Liv goes, oh, no. I'm not talking about Bobby. I'm talking about Lana. And the fans go, yes, 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 yes.
By the way, all y'all that were chanting HLA tonight,
on Twitter,
if you understand what that reference is, it's goddamn 2020. Can we move on?
Right. Yeah. Anyway. So, Lana was sad and crying, and Liv gets up to her and then gets slapped across her face. They start having a cat fight. Lana gets on top of Liv and slapped her. People pull apart.
Lana had her granny panties on. We were all very grateful.
Uh-huh. And she's going, we must continue. And then the minister goes, well, if anyone has objections, missing out on for our whole piece. By the way, we forgot to mention one thing.
We did.
There was a big giant cake in the ring.
It was a very suspicious looking cake, as it was oddly wrestler sized.
And inside this cake was Rusev, who was wearing a bow tie and a t-shirt and jeans.
His new shirt, which I'm sure is available on WWE Shop
probably
right now.
Rusev beat the crap out of Lashley. Lana was all mad. Liv got in back into it, smashing Lana into the cake. Yeah, that was the wedding. Many have objections. Many are rightfully to have objections. But there are some accusations about this angle, this segment going, have you watched pro wrestling before? Have you watched the sports entertainment? Did you all watch AEW last week when they had the guy miss his punches? Did you all really enjoy that? And then you're gonna shit talk this? Yes, I got really close to the mic on that one. Sorry, had to. Some people are out here. This was worse than Katie Vick.
Oh no. No.
Come on.
No. Did y'all see Katie Vick?
Come
were
on.
Were you there for Katie Vick? That's what I have to ask. Like,
no, they weren't. That's the thing, they weren't.
If you do not know what Katie Vick is, and you're comparing this to Katie Vick, I would strongly suggest you go watch it on the network. I bet it's there.
It is.
This is nothing. And just to fill people in, what Katie Vick was essentially necrophilia.
Yeah.
On TV. That's what Katie Vick was. That was like the lowest, classless thing that they've ever done was Katie Vick.
So,
like, that was, like, so bad.
So here's the thing. Was this the greatest sports entertainment angle of all the time? No. But was this a trashy wrestling wedding? Hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. I have hated this angle from day one. It has been awful. I have not been able to stand it. This was the best thing that has ever happened to this angle. The best thing.
And all you out there who were like, oh, I don't want to see Liv Morgan turn into Emma Lena. Clearly she's not.
Thank God.
She's more psycho Mickey James than Emma Lena.
Thank God.
Let's be real about that. Let's see. So you got Rusev over in this whole entire angle. You got Liv Morgan now over. She's in a prominent position on the show. You got Lana over. And then there's Lashley. But the angle itself, the whole entire angle did everything you needed it to do. It got people over. It's gotten people talking. Are people talking about, you know, other things on the show? No. Did people move past the Randy Orton angle after 20 minutes? Yeah. This was wrestling. This was a... If you've watched Monday Night Raw or SmackDown for 15 years, for 20 years, you know they do goofy stuff. Was this the best? Hell no. But goddamn, did this keep my attention the entire time? Hell yeah.
This made Twitter so entertaining. This just sent Twitter into an absolute tizzy. Renee Young was like, I can't tweet fast enough. There's too much going on.
Xavier Woods was having a blast with it. By the way, we're going to talk about it Thursday on Tweet of the Week. Rob Schomburger stole the night.
Oh my God, Rob Schomburger. Oh my God. You sassy bastard. I love you so much.
That was great. We'll have that in Tweet of the Week. But yeah, it was a good wrestling, it was a good sports entertainment moment. And if you're too stuck up and don't enjoy it, then watch something else. If you like to be sports entertained, watch this. That's it.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go.
If you've never seen... Okay. So for the people that have never, ever seen a WWE wedding before, because let's all be real, it's been a minute since we've had one. A real, legit wrestling wedding. Like, the full shebang.
It's been since 2012.
With Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
So it's now 2019, almost 2020. So 7 years.
7.5 years.
And even the Daniel Bryan, AJ Lee stuff was not the legit thing. Like, it was close, but they went full out balls to the wall on this one. This was like right up there with Hunter and Steph. Like, when they renewed their wedding vows, or Kane and Lita. Like, this was good. And if anybody knows me, you know I love a really good wrestling wedding. And I was like halfway dreading this all day. Like, I did not want to watch this show all day because I was like, oh my God, they're going to botch this. This is going to be terrible. This was amazing. But if you've never watched them, I would strongly recommend that you go back and watch it. And I mean, there are people that are not going to like this. And if you don't like it,
just watch something else. Watch something else.
No, I'm just going to say, if you don't like it, I respect that you don't like it, because there are people that didn't like this angle, have not liked this angle from day one, and no matter what they did, they weren't going to like this. They weren't. And that's fine. That's their opinion. But don't sit there and ruin it for everybody else that's enjoying it, because that's what this was. This was just pure, unadulterated sports entertainment at its finest, because it's the last show of the year. It's the last show of the decade. Nothing on this show really matters. Nothing. But it does, because they'll carry it over to next week. But nothing that they do, because it's a holiday. It's the day before New Year's Eve. Nothing matters. So they can do a show that is pure entertainment, that is pure stupidity, that is pure whatever you want it to be. And that's what this was. This was purely stupid, purely entertainment. And it delivered. It absolutely delivered. This was so good, from like, just from the people doing the objections to the cat fight, which I will admit the cat fight was a little much.
But it worked.
But I felt like the cat fight kind of took the women back for a second. Like, I had flashbacks to like bra and panty matches, mainly because Lana's ass was hanging out of her dress. But that, it all worked. And then you had Rusev come out of the cake and just, they destroyed and disrupted the wedding. And they stopped the wedding from happening. And that's ultimately what has to happen, is either, one, okay, wrestling weddings have two-ish outcomes. One, they get stopped, and the actual physical vows are not exchanged. And then that allows them to break the couple up later. Two, A, the wedding goes through, the couple gets married, and then when they go to break them up, something happens where either the wedding wasn't legal, or they get divorced, or it gets annulled, or whatever. And then there's option B that almost never happens, which is they live happily ever after and ride off into the sunset. So you have those like two-ish options that happen for weddings. Like, this was never going to go through. This was never going to be a thing. They always stop it and make sure that they don't get married. I think the only people that have successfully gotten married were Hunter and Steph and Kane and Lita.
Okay, I have to read something, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's from Twitter. Hey, Vince McMahon, I hope your ratings and your stock sink to company-wide historic lows. What you delivered at the end of Raw was one of the most embarrassing and revolting segments I've ever witnessed. Your removal will be a fucking blessing when it happens. Signed, everyone. Paul Heyman wrote this goddamn show, not Vince McMahon. Go crush Paul Heyman if you didn't like it. It's not Vince McMahon's show, it's Paul Heyman's.
Truth. I mean, like I said, not everybody's gonna like it. I enjoyed it just for the pure stupidity of it. Was it great? Will I be happy when the storyline's over? Yeah. But here's the thing, like Rock said, how many people got exposure because of the storyline? How many people got over because of the storyline? And that's the ultimate point, is getting people over and moving them on into the next part. They have reestablished Rusev. They have reestablished-ish Bobby Lashley. They brought Liv Morgan back. They've basically made Lana her own person. And we have to talk about Lana, because Lana,
she was fantastic.
She was absolutely fantastic. She hammed it up. This is what she's great at right here, is just being what she was tonight. She's one of their better actresses. She absolutely was the right person to tap for this and pull this off. I have no complaints about this, because she tends to go over the top in a lot of the stuff that she does. And for the last few weeks, it's been grating and it's been just like, God, I can't stand this. But tonight, it was perfect. It was on point. It was, like I said, I liked it.
Hold on.
I enjoyed it.
Hey, Swax, a lot of Liv Morgan HLA moment would have been the best ending of Raw. What world are you living in, dude? Like, seriously, what world are you living in? Anyway.
I mean,
that's dumbass thinking. Like, move on, grow up.
Two chicks kissing?
I mean,
have a lesbian kiss on Raw and it'd be like legit.
But
that
that's
would
not
be
a
cool.
That's they want hot lesbian action. Like,
dude, if you want hot lesbian action, go find it on Google.
Yeah.
If you're of age.
God,
like, really?
Grow up sometimes. Like, grow up.
Like, really? How is that any better than what happened? Like, if you're just essentially exploiting two women for a kiss, like, okay, they're going to make out with each other, or they're going to kiss. That's all they're going to do. They're going to kiss. That's okay. I'm not going to judge. Like, not going to judge, not going to kink shame, not going to do anything like that. But really? Really? Okay. I mean, it's, like I said, it's 2019, 2020. Can we move on?
We are. Because that is it. We're done. This was great. This was the perfect sports and entertainment show, which is what I've been saying this entire night. They gave you the best of sports and the best of entertainment on this show.
I mean, they really did do a good job of having something for everybody. You had two or three really good matches on the show in Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy.
Charlotte Natty. The tag match was really good.
The tag match was awesome. We had movement in the tag division and the fact that they set up a title match.
Ricochet and Andrade was really good as well.
Ricochet and Andrade was phenomenal. I mean, and then you balanced that with Lana, or you balanced Lana with the really good wrestling. This was a very nicely balanced show. It moved.
Yeah, it did.
It wasn't particularly boring in any one spot. It did move. And they gave the ending to the show the proper amount of time. They did it really, really well from that perspective. I mean, again, it's not the greatest thing ever. It's not.
But it was entertaining.
But it was fun. Like, we were sitting here cutting up, all of us having a good time on Twitter, having a laugh at this, because that's what this was for. That's what this is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you laugh. It's supposed to make you be like, oh my God, this is idiotic, but in the best way.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you don't like it. And don't watch if that's the case. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, everybody's like, it should be serious all the time. Wrestling cannot be serious all the time, because then it's boring as fuck.
Thursday night, Pop goes the rack.
We're probably talking about this. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we're doing news notes, NXT.
We're going to look back at our predictions from 2019.
I think we have an intern.
Maybe. I don't know. He should be here. He's going to tell us our stupid predictions, and we're going to make even stupider predictions for the start of the new decade. Live, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Yes, we will be the first show live in the new decade. 10 p.m. Eastern this Thursday night. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's another edition of CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GrandTheGreatTheBait.com. Go check out at Lone Jobber on Twitter as he celebrates the holidays. It's Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas, all that stuff at Lone Jobber. Wrestle Talk Radio airs Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night when the Beast returns. A good triple threat match for the tag team titles. Rey Mysterio and Andrade next week on Raw. We'll be live on the post show to talk all about it. I've been doing this post show since 2011. We've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. But goddamn, this was. Yeah. Anyway, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the network, support the channel. You know the way to do so is by using creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. That's a hashtag ad because I'm a hashtag Epic partner. Because things go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LensWard, LNSWRD, twitch.tv/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And, you know, that's all I have.
Check out all of our signed content, whether it's Fortnite with friends, whether it's Grand Theft Auto, whether it's WWE 2K20, or any of the podcasts, or any of the things we like to do here on Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the final show of the year. This is the final show of the decade. And it's been presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm sorry I have no more voice, but damn it, we made it through another show in this decade. Because woo. We'll see you Thursday night on the brand new year. Live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive. And wildtalkradio.com. See you in the next decade. Woo!
WildTalkRadio.com.